He's simply a picture of the Great One, Christ. And we'll go back to Joseph's life today in Genesis 39. We started this journey, this study of the life of Joseph a few weeks back, and we began in chapter 37. And you remember, we went from him as a teenager, a coat of many colors, to all of a sudden, through the hatred of his brothers, he escapes death, but he's sold as a slave going into Egypt. A lot happened in chapter 37 that set the course of events. At this point, Joseph is there in Egypt the rest of Genesis, essentially. And God has His purposes for His people. Now we'll begin to see the story dramatically unfolding with Joseph in Egypt. What does Egypt have to do with the Israelites? A lot. Because God had it for His glory and the preservation of His people. But chapter 39, today, we're only going to deal with part of it. I want to deal with it in two pieces. It has a very high event or high moments. And then it goes low. Joseph is promoted. Joseph advances to high responsibilities, which we'll see today. God's doing it in him and with him. And then before we even get out of this chapter, Joseph is taken low because he's falsely accused and sent to prison. So he goes from a man with tremendous power and influence, gaining, to a man who's cast aside and put in prison. Today, what God does to advance him. Genesis 39, let's read the first six verses. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Verse 5. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not what he had, except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Let me quote to you as a complimentary verse, Proverbs 22:29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings and not before obscure men. That's what we're going to see today. Let me pray. Father, draw us in to Your presence, Your Spirit, Your help, Your truth. Lord, let this story, let the glory of God and the hand of God be so moving and real to us. Lord, we look into these events and we do marvel that You had Joseph. You had him. Your purposes, Your kingdom, Your people. Lord, You have us. You have us. Shepherd us, O Lamb of God. Have this time. Bless Your word. Give it success for Thy name's sake, we ask. Amen. If you wanted to get the best counsel on career advancement and business success, who would you go to? Well, I'm going to give you two options today. On this side, there's a top executive from a Fortune 500 company that I met, that he's come down from New York. He's going to be over here if you want to visit with him today about business success, advancement, taking control, being the great one, if you want to talk to him. But then there's this slave guy. He's a nobody, really, but he's a Hebrew. His name is Joseph. He's in his late teens, and he's going to be over here. No credentials, but if you'd like to visit with him, you can, or the executive. Now, someone would say, oh, I need the executive over here because my career deals with business and secular things, things of this world, things that I want to advance in. So I want to talk to him. Not so fast. You might be, if that was your thought or somebody else listening, if that was your thought, you might be of a separation mindset. That which is secular and that which is sacred or spiritual is spiritual. Wrong. It's wrong. As a Christian, there is no separation of those two. It can't be. It can't be. There is no secular, sacred, or secular and spiritual. It's one Christian life. I mean, Joseph is a phenomenal example to us in this. He's not pastoring. He's not writing books of theology. He's not, at this point, he's just walking with the one great God and King of the universe, as though there's anything beyond that. He's with God. So, you as a Christian, I as a Christian, all of us as a Christian, young or old, we're not separated. We walk in one continuous God-centered life. All that we do, eating or drinking, cleaning, paperwork, yard work, raising children, writing a card to a friend, everything is spiritual and sacred because we live and move and have our being in God. Joseph being the example for us. And God is with His people. It's sacred. It's precious. There's no small task. There's no secondary thing in the Christian life. So it might be easy for us. It was tempting for me in my continuing to look at these big chunks of text and history of Joseph. It might be tempting to read these first six verses and go, come on, let's move on. Let's get on with the story. It would be easy to do that. But beloved, what we see here in Joseph's life is foundational to what lies ahead. God has him in Potiphar's house, and it's the beginning of what God's going to do every step of the way. You may go back to chapters of your life and think, well, I never really thought that as significant. I mean, this guy just came out of the Air Force. He was painting and doing a few things like that when I met him. And yet, God was with him. God had him. So what we see in Joseph's life today is foundational. These were the early months of Joseph in Egypt. He's a teenager. We have a number of young adults here. Young people. You may think, there's so many things out there I want to do. But what are you doing now? Are you walking with Christ Jesus today? Does He walk with you and talk with you and tell you you are His own, like the hymn writer said? Just as God has ordained for Joseph these days, He's ordained for us. And God had these days for Joseph that were essential here at Potiphar's house. Yes, and the turning against him. All of these things, ultimately, God was directing Joseph to be a redeemer, a rescuer, a protector, preserver of God's people. Majestic truth there. And yet, here is the foundational days of this. So, chapter 39 is going to show us God's work in Joseph in two great ways. He prospers him and blesses him. He advances him quickly in the house of Potiphar. He keeps him there. And then, boom, God preserves and protects him from false accusations from Potiphar's wife. God advances and prospers him, and God protects him and preserves him. Both of these great truths we will see in chapter 39. Glorious, incredible. And both are significant. Think of this. Both are significant. The advancement and the protection God gives against his false accusation are so significant to his life, to what's ahead. Failure. Either of these. If Joseph is a failure in the house of Potiphar, or if he gives himself to sin, everything about the story stops. You don't go any further. His diligence and his walking in purity and his faithfulness and all these things were foundational how God was preparing what was ahead. The role of Joseph in God's economy and his purpose hinges on these very days, weeks, and months. So today we'll look at the first one. God prospering and blessing Joseph as a leader. As a leader. A man who has come into Egypt as a Hebrew, and yet God advances him. So stay with me today. I want us to note five things about the life of Joseph, of what God was doing in this man. All of us can hear these. All of us can be inspired, can be refined. We can hear this and we can believe God for grace in your life, my life. Do it in us. Do this, Lord, for your name's sake. And then at the end, as I've said when I started, I want to bring the greater realities, truths about our great Savior. If Joseph is a type, if he's a messianic type, then we want to finish each time speaking of Christ Jesus, our great Savior and King. So verse 1 takes us back to the historic setting. 37 was about what happened with Joseph, being betrayed and eventually becoming a slave. 38 takes on a whole different storyline. So now 39 picks back up. In a sense, let's get back to the story of Joseph. Joseph being the main figure now for the rest of the book of Genesis. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands, or at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down to Egypt." We are connecting back to this sequence where he has now been spared death, but he has now been put as a slave in Egypt. Not an enviable position. I mean, you may have a job that doesn't feel real important, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing compared to what Joseph now has been come to Egypt, and he's another man's property. He works, or he reports to, or he is under this man, and this man is Potiphar. And we are connected now to a unique piece of history that's important to why Joseph will eventually go on to other places of leadership. It began with Potiphar. Nobody's ever going to preach a sermon on Potiphar. We're only going to encounter this man briefly, and then we'll never hear from him again. But it's significant now what's happened. Joseph is bought by Potiphar as a slave. God has appointed it. And he's not just anybody, meaning Potiphar. Think about this. He has position. He's a man that's connected in certain ways there in Egypt. It says that he was a captain of the guard. He was an officer. He was an Egyptian. He was a man probably that had some enviable position. You'll read different thoughts on this. He just wasn't an average guy. He was connected in ways. And this is where God sends Joseph. He sends him to Potiphar. It's incredible providence here. Potiphar buys him. Probably was just another purchase, just another servant, slave, somebody to have to help him. And yet, he's the one that buys Joseph, brings him into his household. We know that he had a lot of affairs because there's a lot to keep up with. The text implies that. And yet, Potiphar didn't bring him in for that. He didn't bring him in for running his household. So Potiphar was, in certain ways, a significant man, speaking within the day that he lived in the Egyptian kingdom. And being with Potiphar, think about this, being in Potiphar's house was the beginning of Joseph adapting to that people, to those people there, the Egyptian people and the Egyptian industries. Now think about this. We tend to just go right past this. The equipping of Joseph was happening. Joseph didn't just immediately get at the right hand of Pharaoh. Here are the beginning days. You read of missionaries. You read of those who give themselves in the kingdom. And they have to learn the ways of the people they're among. They have to learn the ways of their language, their practices, their culture, their business, their rights and their wrongs. You can't shake hands with a certain hand. Can't say certain things. You can't do your eyes a certain way. Things were happening that were foundational to what Joseph was going to be in that place. It was an ideal setting. It was God's preparation for him. Oftentimes, as you get older, I suspect there would be men or women here who would say, you look back and you realize, well, wait a minute. God was doing that in my life at a certain time to prepare me for this place in my life. Yes, he leads us. He leads his people. And he has Joseph. So this is the historic setting. Joseph is here in training, if you will. Now, we don't have multiple chapters on him being in Potiphar's house, but we do know things happened for his equipping or his preparation for being in an Egyptian culture and people. God was preparing Joseph for bigger things. That's the great truth. When you say bigger things, the things that were ultimately going to come to fruition for the deliverance of his family. But each step is connected, right? Somebody might have wanted to round up their wedding ring there. That was beautiful to behold. For those that missed it, it rolled all the way. But God was preparing him. And he was equipping him and he was advancing him in these early weeks and months. Remember Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are what? Are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good woman, a godly one, one who walks with God, one who fears the Lord, as Jeff has been going over and over in the Bible, said their steps, their lives, who they meet, who they talk to, who they're with, they're ordered of God. I went Friday evening. Krista was having time with some of our daughters, and I went by myself, and I went to just have a hamburger and just have my own time, and I grabbed a book of Lloyd Jones's. I hadn't done that in a while. I almost felt when I was driving around, it's been too long since you've done this, Philip. I just wanted to go and have that and sit. I was the only one when it came time for me to leave. I went up to fill up my cup to leave. My book's sitting there and a guy comes in and he's just standing there looking at my book. And I walk back and he says, man, I come in here and a guy's reading Martin Lloyd Jones. I grinned at him and said, you know who he is, don't you? Yes, I do. Well, there, you think that was a random step? There it was. God led him, God led me, and then we got to meet each other and had just a few minutes together. A good man, a good woman's steps are ordered of the Lord. That's what we're seeing with Joseph. You need to believe more of this for your life. There are no small steps. There's some painful classes in college that I wish I wouldn't have to submit to the providence of God in those days, but yes, there were classes, there were faculty members, there were other students, there were events. Things that you would choose, things that you would go towards or go away from, your steps. So that's the setting. Joseph is here not to be corrupted, but to learn and to bring his God, or God to bring him right into this culture, for God to triumph in Egypt. Verse 2. Now we come to the first of five things I want us to note about Joseph. Five things. Here we come to the first truth about Joseph. Verse 2 says, God made him prosperous. Prosperous. Most all translations will use that word, and I'll touch on it here in a minute. Go back to verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. If you haven't underlined that yet in your Bible, you need to be underlining when you see all the phrases about God being with him. And God, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. What a statement. What blessing was upon this young man. Name it and claim it, prosperity men would corrupt these texts. I'm not even going there. I want to deal with it in a God-honoring way, just as it comes to us. God was with him. He prospered him. It's undeniable. The whole story unfolds this way. God has his man. Brothers, sometimes God's going to advance you. Just walk humbly with God. Let him do it. Just let him take you on, whatever that means. Let's not hold back. Let's live unto him. Joseph is in the midst of this series of events of God going to do great things through him. We see the overarching truth is this phrase, and the Lord was with Joseph. Six words. The Lord, he uses that exact statement three times in this text. He was with him in Potiphar's house, and he was with him when he got to prison later in the chapter. God was with him. God was pleased with him. God blessed him, kept him, was around him, ordering his life, ordering his steps, ordering his growth, ordering his walk with his God. It's beautiful, magnificent truth here. And so from the first days of God being with him, wait a minute. What about his dad, his family, and his brothers, and the Israelites, and all the promises? That none of them with him. God was with him. God was with him. God was with him there, and God was with him in these coming days and years in mighty ways. And that's why he prospered. That's why he prospered. People just get these things out of sequence. Men of the world, they don't have any purpose to please and honor and walk with God. But the Christian world has been corrupted for decades with writings that corrupt these things. We want to see it as God does it. Joseph's just living and walking as a servant, and God begins to prosper him. Don't you get curious in a way to want to know more about that? Well, how? What did he have to be prospered in? He's in Potiphar's house. Whatever task he was about, God was with him. That's what's so beautiful about it. You sisters, you brothers, it doesn't matter the task. Let God just prosper it. Bless it. Help it. Now remember, he's just a Hebrew slave. I mean, he hadn't had a lot of time to advance himself in their businesses and their industry, right? But he's a vessel in the master's hand. And therefore, that's why he's prospering. He has zero credentials. I mean, he didn't submit a resume. I've laughingly said for years, every resume ever created in North America makes everybody look brilliant, great. Who would ever want to lose that employee? And the truth is, most resumes are really not that great of people. Nobody get their feelings hurt. Time, you ask most employers, there's great employees, yeah, there's great people. But there's a lot of resumes who prop it up. But here, Joseph didn't even have a resume. He doesn't have any control over this. He's here, and God is prospering him. What was he doing? Was he keeping some of the outside fields and crops or whatever, the agriculture? Was he helping inside? Was he doing something on his house? Who knows? It just says God was with him. Doesn't matter what his credentials were. God was with him. Right? That's the whole point. That's why the Fortune 500 guy over here, if he didn't know the living God, why do I ultimately want to go to him? This guy, hypothetically, this theoretical two people to go seek counsel for, this man over here, this young man Joseph, will tell you about walking with God. And he'll tell you about how to walk with God and let God do great things. Not you do great things. Let God get the glory. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be the glory. That's how Joseph was being used of God. Joseph was not shrewd. He was not cunning. He was not really slick in his business savvy. We don't see him at all working Potiphar, trying to play Potiphar. Nothing. God was with him. God was with him. That's the theme. You get it? God prospered him. God was doing it. Joseph didn't do any of this himself. He was faithful in it. He was the vessel. God was using him. He was a man of diligence and economy and wisdom. And in his own way, he was brilliant, apparently. We'll see that as the chapter's gone. But it's because it's as God was doing it. Not the arm of the flesh or the strength of the legs of a man, right? The Lord taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. That's what the Scriptures say. He doesn't take pleasure in ours. He says he takes pleasure in those that fear him and those that trust in him. The trust, right? His steadfast love, his mercy. So now he's with Potiphar. And God is with him. That tells us what we need to know. His portfolio, which didn't exist, says one thing. God's with that man. And what was the result? It says he prospered. That's the word used. If you look back, the Hebrew word has got various layers to it, but it doesn't just mean making money. I think I want to just warn it. It's not just making money. We'll jump to that conclusion. It's everything he touched. Okay? You want good tomato plants? You want Joseph working them. That's what you want. I'm serious. You want a good fence builder, brother, back there? You want fences built to the glory? You want Joseph overseeing the fences being built? You want things that are happening around you? You want Joseph? That's what's happening, beloved. That's what it means. It means that God was advancing him forward. He was bringing him forward. He was making his conduct, his labors, profitable unto all. Now, that's phenomenal. He's not making money per se. He's advancing everything in this man's household. Phenomenal truth to this. God was doing it. Simply said, God was blessing everything that Joseph was about. Do you sometimes feel that, or do you sometimes feel quite the contrary? Do you feel like do you ever stop yourself and say, I'm trying to do all of this in my own strength? You may leave today. You may barely get out of the building today, and you're already feeling that. Men, women, young people, Are you feeling that? Is God getting the glory? Are you submitted to the Master's hands? Are you a channel only in the Master's hand? Are you walking with Him like Joseph? That's what we need. We need to be under Him. We need to be yielded vessels for the Master's use. And that's what Joseph was, and God was bringing him along. They'd say in the corporate world, he was climbing the ladder quickly. But he wasn't doing it. He wasn't trying to. God was advancing him. I like what Matthew Henry said. It is God's presence with us that makes all we do prosperous. It's God's presence with us. I've shared this many a times through the years. In 1986 is when I took the state board exam. And I was utterly fried. Finished my thesis in spring of 86. I'm absolutely exhausted. If you want to get other glimpses of this reality, you just ask my dear bride, and she will tell you. I was burning. I was down to fumes. Started studying and graduated. 30 days later, the state board exam. It's time now to gear up. I was fried. I was too tired. But I was still trying to prepare and trying to prepare and trying to get ready. And then we went to Austin for the exam. And I went into that little fast food place that morning before going into Austin's big place where they did the exam. And I slipped back into the men's room in that building. And I said, Lord, You're going to have to carry me. I cannot do this. I'm exhausted. Oh, God, come. Come and make this. Help me, Lord. I mean, I'm in there as a young man in my 20s pleading with God, help me, Lord. In a sense, I felt everything had come to this point. God just came. He gave help. He'll come. He'll lift you. He'll use you. You just have to be emptied out before Him. Let Him advance you. Let Him use you for His name's sake. Verse 3, we come to the second truth. Yes, God prospered him. He prospered him. He started bringing him along. All that he was doing. Second, God made him visible. This man was visible. He was seen. It was obvious. The Lord's with that man. Go back to verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. His tomatoes, I'm using that illustration, were better. His labors, his fence building, whatever he was about, he was the best. Potiphar, we're talking about the Egyptian man. This man had some rank to him. He's watching this young man going, God's with this man. The language says that. It's probably undeniable. They would have had many gods, little g in Egypt. Many, many, many. This guy has the great one God with him. His God is God. That's ultimately probably what Potiphar was contemplating. And the Lord made everything that he did, meaning Joseph, it just was prospering. It was going well. It was advancing because God was with him. And Potiphar is taking this in. I mean, it seems as though you couldn't help but notice. I wonder what other servants were in the house or whatever. We don't know if he had children, his wife obviously, but it was probably visible to so many that God is with this young man, Joseph. You couldn't help but stand in awe. Potiphar, watching him, observing him, being awed probably of what's happening. And it's small right now, but it's going to get big. One day, he's number two, Joseph, in Egypt, the greatest kingdom of man in that time in the history of the world. Because God keeps taking him on. Potiphar sees this. Potiphar has rank. He has influence. He has wealth. He has pride. And yet, he sees something about this young man. In fact, you got to give Potiphar credit. He wanted that young man to help with his affairs. I'm going to put that guy in charge of things. That's what he does. God turned Potiphar's heart, whatever. God gave him eyes to see him, that this is the man. And so, all of a sudden, Potiphar starts backing up and putting more in Joseph's hands. That's what's going to happen. But here he's visible. God was the reason, and it was undeniable. Beloved, you and I must remember that Christians live out their faith, and it's visible. Maybe this is one of those big nuggets take away today. It's visible. We walk with God in this world. We live out our days before Him. We're seeing. And you may have a tendency to want to dwell on things that you wish you could change about yourself. Oh, I'm talking about your life as a whole. What do you love? What are you after? Who do you spend time with? What gives you delight? How do you view the things of this world, family, children, money, whatever it is, your life, how you care for others, what you say to others, what happens when people get negative, cruel, vile? What is your response? Who are you? The Christian's life is public. Joseph is very small in his public appearance right now, but it's big to this man. God's with that man. You sisters, you brothers, your life is to be a living testimony to the great Savior who is in you. That is undeniable. The Lord Jesus Christ said, and we covered this a few months back, let your light so shine before men that they may see God with you. Good works. God's with you. The Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes our Christianity, our convictions, our life in Christ Jesus is not something we just keep tucked aside. It doesn't sit in your study. So far to date, I still don't have one study to put all my stuff. It's probably good for me because that's not where I need to be thinking about walking with God only. That's great if I could have that. Yeah, maybe one day. It's my whole life. It's your whole life. Right? It says in the New Testament, you are epistles. People are reading you. They're watching you. What do you say? What do you do? Who are you with? Brother Mac and I years ago were out at Denny's. Linda may remember this. Visiting. We both had our Bibles. Just 12, 15. It's probably 12 years ago. Just having our time. Over in the corner. Sharing. And the guy finally that left, there was a few booths over, came by and he said, you know what? I just couldn't help but just be eavesdropping on you guys. I've loved this. This has helped me so much. He said, I'm going up there and I'm paying for whatever y'all have. This is on me. Mac and I looked at each other. We said, okay, you sure? Absolutely, I'm sure. You guys keep going. Well, beloved, our lives, they are a book. Joseph's life was visible. It's beautiful. Let your light so shine before men. Let's move on. The third truth about Joseph, we see it in verse 4. God makes him a leader. He puts him in a place. We talk about God prospering him. We see him being visible. Now he's in a place of leadership. Go back to verse 4. And Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight. Meaning Joseph was seen and respected and he served him. Meaning he served Potiphar. And so Potiphar made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. All. Yes, Brother Lee, all means all here. There it is. It is all. Everything he had. It's in total. Seems a little hasty there, isn't it, Potiphar? Mm-mm. He says, that's the man that needs... Potiphar's essentially saying, he's better at it. He's more trustworthy at it. He'll advance it more than I could ever do. That's probably unspoken here in the text. That's the man to leave it to. Leave it to him. Put it in his hands. It says he found grace. He continued to serve. Look at that word. He was serving Potiphar. There's no text here that speaks of Joseph trying to get on top. Try to be the big guy. God was advancing him and Potiphar says, I'm putting you in charge. And he puts everything he has under the control or the guidance, the management of Joseph. Incredible. That blessing that's on him that God was doing. God was promoting him. Now keep in mind, we're not going to get much further and then he's out of this position. It's amazing that Potiphar would have turned so quickly on Joseph. But we'll deal with that in 2 weeks. He believes a lie against him. Here, he believes that this is the man. He's the one that I want to trust with my stuff, my kingdom or my estate. I give it to him. But God was bringing him into this place. Psalm 75. Promotion neither comes from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. What's the next verse? But God is the judge. Right? He puts down one and he promotes another. That is in Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. God is the judge. God here with Joseph is putting him up. He's going to put him in this place. However many weeks or months that this went on, it went on for a while because things were happening. Things were advancing. If you want to put it this way, Potiphar's affairs were going really well. Can you imagine, though, one of Potiphar's friends saying, who's managing your stuff right now? Oh, it's that Hebrew guy I got. The Hebrew kid? He's in charge of things? What is his... Hey, wait just a second here. Why did you do that? Because God's with that young man. God's with him. Yes, I'm just conjecture, but surely, maybe even his own wife initially said, what in the world are you putting this young man in charge of things for? God was doing it, and Potiphar was a part of the plan of God to put him in that position and let him advance his own affairs there for him. Go back to Proverbs 22. You see thou a man diligent in his business? If you behold somebody that's diligent in his business, what does the Word of God say? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before obscure or lowly men. God will put him in his place, in his time, for the glory of God, for his plan. And that's what's happening. Potiphar probably had selfish motives. God had perfect motives and plan to advance Joseph. And Joseph just keeps going. He's faithful in it. He's faithful. He stays with it. So much about the Christian life, staying with what God's put us in. Staying with it. Growing up in those responsibilities. Walking with Him. Walking in humility. Letting Him build you, refine you. That's what He was doing with Joseph. And here, its blessing is being poured out. So now he moves into his first role as a leader in Egypt. So God prospers him. He begins to advance him. God makes him visible, and now God puts him in an office as a leader. God has him. Wonderful example for us. Let's keep moving. The fourth truth about Joseph. God made him a blessing to others. There was an overflow. God made his servant a blessing to others. You touched on this a little bit today. In the fear of the Lord. Jeff's had these wonderful teachings on the fear of the Lord. This massive truth. But those who fear the Lord, there are others who get the blessing of this that are close by. That's what's happening here. The fourth truth about Joseph, he blesses others. Things are happening there, meaning in this case, it deals with this man's affairs, his estate. But things were happening. God was blessing. Go back to verse 5. Read it. And it came to pass from the time that he made Joseph him, made him the overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. It's just incredible. I'm kind of laughing today because we got a lot of our garden is just really dried up and scrawny right now. This is. And I couldn't help but be out there thinking, man, Joseph's would not have looked like this. I mean, it's just funny, isn't it, to think like that. But when you're thinking from a God-centered worldview, yes, there are godly men that work the fields and have their businesses. God blesses them, and it pours over. It pours over. Early on, and where I am now, and the work that I do vocationally, there was a man there who has a hunger for God, and he was just troubled by it. And I said, brother, why don't we just get together early in the morning one day, just you and I, and we'll pray for here, what's going on in this company. He said, I'm in. Let's do it. Because we just want God's hand on it. And that's what is happening here. God's grace in His people pours over to others. Do you believe that? do we believe that in our day-to-day grind or what you're about? God's grace in your life, it pours over to others. David Catalan will tell stories to us, who he meets, who he's been with. Things are pouring over you, different men, you'll share. God just, He just advances you in ways, and others are getting blessed by it. It's beautiful. It's what He intends. His glory, His Son's majesty is being declared and lived out before others. I remember years ago, there was a guy at the end of a big basketball game that he knows God. I have pretty confident this one. And at the end, they tried to interview him. He was a key guy in how they came back and won this game. And he broke down with the person trying to do the interview. And I sat there and I thought, it's because he knows God just did it. And he was overwhelmed. He just said, I'm just so blessed. He was trying to say something to them. God did it. His team won. It's just one illustration of millions today of what God will do. Your life will bless others. That's what grace is doing. Grace is flowing. It ought to be flowing from your life. You got to go to the laundromat this week? Let it flow through you. You have to do work on a big piece of equipment like Alan Pop? I have no idea how he works on that stuff, but I know he's there for God's namesake. And he and you and I are to live that way, whatever we're about. From the beginning of Joseph as the overseer, God blessed Potiphar's household immensely. For Joseph's sake. Because of Joseph, his servant, God's blessing everything. They're getting in on it. They're getting the finest of production and advancement. If they were dealing with investments or they were dealing with building things or whatever was going on, things were happening because God was doing it. The whole situation had grace poured out. This may startle you, but I want to make a statement. Today, in businesses and organizations throughout the world, hundreds of them, thousands of them, are prospering because Christians are there. This could scare some people. It could. I've seen firms, I've seen companies, I've seen things happen with one or two people leave, and then it's the blessing is off of it because God's not exalted in it. God's not acknowledged. God's not feared. God's not praised. God's not anywhere in it. But when He has His people, and they're there, it's incredible that He blesses it. It's sometimes it's hidden where people, they can't even explain it. But it's God. It's God doing it. Businesses or organizations or agencies or governments. I mean, hey, what's Joseph ultimately going to be doing? Running just businesses in Egypt? No. He's going to be a leader in the nation. He's making decisions that will affect whether the Egyptians survive the famine to come, not to mention his family who would desperately depend on him. Yes, God blesses his servants. There are businesses that are only going to last so much longer in our country and other places until God's finished with his purpose with his people, and then that's it. It's done. I don't know. I can't explain how it's done. I just know God has it. He sets one up. He takes others down. That's what He does, sometimes in business and sometimes with colleagues and friends. I'll make statements, well, if God's going to do it, then we're just going to trust Him. If He's not, we're not going to wrestle against Him. We're not going to fight against Him. We're going to trust in Him. Sometimes He disperses things and you go, I don't understand how that's happening. Wait on the Lord. Listen to what John Calvin said. The Christian diffuses God's fragrance to those that are near them. Isn't that beautiful? There's this pouring out. There's this, it spills over. Yes, beloved, God blessed Potiphar's household and his fields. The blessing was evident on all of them. And Joseph continued to walk with God because God was with him. So you think of this today with you, your life, being a blessing to others, pouring out, him doing things through you. What your hands are about, what your words are about, what your labor is about, what your life in total is about. Brings us to the fifth truth about Joseph. The fifth truth about Joseph is God made him trustworthy in everything. Which is why what's about to happen with this false accusation will not stick. He was faithful. He was a man under the hand and the Spirit of the living God. God made him trustworthy. Look back at verse 6. And Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And Potiphar didn't know what he had. That sounds like a pretty lousy business guy. He didn't even know what he had, except the bread which he did eat. Stop there. The guy from the Fortune 500 company at this point has left, by the way. You won't be able to visit with him. He's out of his element now. This is hypothetical, children. He's not really here. But the point is, we're in a language. We're in a kingdom. We're in truth. He has no idea what we're talking about. God's blessing this business? Yeah. Mm-hmm. God's blessing their industry, their manufacturing, their systems, their technology. Yeah. That's right. That's right. How do you explain it, God? God does it for His glory. Well, I need more. No, you don't need more. You need to fear the living God. That's what you need. But men want to trust in their own strength. And here, God has put into Joseph's hand great responsibilities, and he's trustworthy. He that's faithful in little will be given more. There's a lot of truths here that are, we could go all over the Scriptures. And Brother Ron loves to go to the Proverbs. They're wonderful. Principles, truths of the Christian life, being faithful. And here, in a way, Joseph is bringing the light or highlight of so many of these truths. He's trustworthy. He took care of everything. Everything. When I flew to Portland, I saw one of these articles in a paper that left behind about a guy who represents these athletes and entertainers, and he takes care of all of their affairs. They need their windows cleaned in their house, he takes care of it. They never know it happened. I was reading this, I said, wait a minute. He said, the biggest problem with them is they all want a bunch of cars. I say, three cars, that's it, three cars. You can't have six, you can't have 12, you can't have 100. Three cars. Oh, man, he gets pushed back. But these guys sign a contract with him. They don't even know where their money's going, generally speaking, not closely. This guy's known, he's popular, he's been successful. I mean, they need the yards mowed, their swimming pool's clean, their fresh fish put in their big world aquarium. This guy does it. I'm reading this article going, what a vain world we live in. Well, Joseph's managing Potiphar's affairs. There's got to be some funny things about being in Potiphar's house that Joseph thought, me and Dad and my brothers, we never faced anything like this. But he was trustworthy. He was faithful in it. He was faithful. The principle is God's with him and he's faithful in it. He's faithful when nobody else is watching. You and I live so much of our life when nobody else is watching, right? Being faithful. Joseph never tried to take advantage of Potiphar. Never in the rest of this chapter or in the rest of this story is Joseph trying to take advantage of anybody. God's advancing him. Joseph staying under his great God. Nothing in Joseph's mind is about him being advanced. He tells us later in the book, God did it for all of us. He took care of all of us. So, beloved, Potiphar didn't audit or count anything. All he knew was the next meal that he had, he just feasted on it. He didn't know where the next meal or the next year's worth of stuff was coming from. Joseph was handling all. Isn't this incredible? You see how comprehensive this is? You can't get to Joseph as the right hand of Pharaoh, preserving food for all the famine to come and all these events. You can't get there unless you understand God's with him here. Teenage, servant, slave, in a man's house. And yet, the Lord's with him. It should give any of us, wherever you are, whatever station of life you're in, it should give you great joy and confidence in God. Sometimes I have to go back to the college that I went to. I get asked over to speak or be with the students or whatever. And I walk across that campus now, and Krista would laugh at me. And I just feel like an old guy. The boot fits, right? And I walk around, and I look at them, I go, I wonder how stressed they are about that project. I wonder what they're... And I'm having these flashbacks. It's almost kind of bad for me to do it, because I kind of get overwhelmed. I'm so glad I'm not here anymore. But I go back, and I realize, wait a minute. I learned things there in those days, and doing drawings and building models and staying up and working in the grocery store business and learning to love and dwell with my wife and little children. I was learning things. They're all these. It's just the pilgrimage I was on. God was in his abundant mercy, was with me. That's here, beloved. You cannot go on to chapters 42 and 43. And 40. You've got to understand these truths. It's really paramount to understand before we get to Potiphar's wife trying to stumble him. God's with him. That's what we want. Let me close. Joseph's not the main character ultimately. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the Scriptures are pointing us ultimately to him. He's the great one. He's the preeminent one. And Joseph, who is in heaven, would say that today. The Lamb of God's the great one. But what does Joseph give us in terms of a lively picture? You remember a few weeks ago, That's the phrase Calvin uses. Joseph gives us a lively picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close with these and then I'll pray. Number one of three. Throughout the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father was with Him. God the Father was with God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit was given to Him without measure. Joseph had this chapter, these seasons of God's with him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the one who came down from heaven, connected to the triune God, God was with him in everything. Absolutely. In all that he was about, little boy, God was with him. Teenager, God was with him. Working in his dad's wood shop or whatever. Helping his mom, whatever, dealing with his younger siblings. God was with him. His teachings, His miracles, His atoning work, His confrontation. God the Father was with God the Son. Phenomenal. Phenomenal truth. Think of that. He and the Father in perfect harmony. And He had the Spirit. Beautiful. What a lively picture from Joseph to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the greater realities about the Lord Jesus. As the Messiah, spotless and holy, without sin, perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ was visible to all men. He still is. Everything in history leading up to Him and everything in history from then hinges on the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything from the creation to what's ahead and the ultimate kingdom that we're going to is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was visible. He is visible. He's the main one. My little nephew leaned over the seat years ago. Uncle Philip, you like to talk about the Bible. And I don't remember what I said to Trav, but I should have said, Trav, everything is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. He was visible. He should be visible. We should talk with Him and walk with Him and speak about His glory, loving Him, sing His songs. Visible. The Christian life is visible, seen. Number three, the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ constantly blessed others. You talk about blessings being poured out. When Jeff was going through some of the miracles and all, it was kind of overwhelming for Jeff emotionally. You're overwhelmed at the compassion. A woman, there's a funeral procession. That's her only son. The Lord Jesus Christ stops the funeral procession to raise her son from the dead. You talk about a sympathizing, compassionate Savior. Blind Bartimaeus. Zacchaeus in the tree. Going to his house, poured out. It's not even, you can't even put it in English statements. The Lord Jesus constantly blessed everything. He was around everyone, feeding people that were hungry. Didn't send them home hungry. Taking little children up into his lap. Oh, saints, what a Savior! My, constantly blessing others. We could camp out here for hours. Just phenomenal. His love and compassion and His good that He did. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank You for this beginning of Joseph's days in Egypt. Thank You, Lord, that You were with him. That You prospered him. That he was Your man. Father, we want to learn from it. We want to be moved along by these truths. Help us, Lord. Thank You that the greater reality is our Savior, our King, our Redeemer. Teach us Your ways. Lord, wash us today from things of this world that are hindering us, and let us be faithful unto You. Blessed be Your name. Amen.